Welcome to our worship this morning to everybody who's joined with us today. In Jesus, our Messiah, God is present among us. Through Jesus, our Messiah, God assures us that we are never abandoned. From Jesus, our Messiah, we will learn where we are going. But in the name of Jesus, let us all admit that we need direction. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. We're now going to sing the hymn, Now Thank We All Our God. Let us now come before our Lord in prayer. Father, so often we only listen after deciding in advance what you have to tell us. We are guilty of selective tuning, letting in your message of comfort and security, but shutting out your message of responsibility and commitment. We have refused to recognise your voice in the cries for help transmitted through throbbing, suffering, living flesh. We have turned off to you your solemn declaration that whatever you do to my brothers, however humble, you do to me. Father, for these sins of pride and disbelief, we beg your mercy. Amen. We're now going to listen to a reading based on the call of Samuel. It's a video, little video production. So let us listen to this now.
Stories of the Bible. God speaks to Samuel. This is Samuel.
Hi.
Samuel was the son of Hannah.
Hey, Samuel.
Hannah prayed for God to give her a son. And God did. So Hannah gave Samuel back to God.
See you, Samuel.
Bye, Mom.
and Samuel grew up in the temple serving under Eli, the priest.
Hi, Eli!
As Samuel grew up, he learned how to serve God from Eli. Samuel lived in the house of God, but he did not know God or what God's voice sounded like. In those days, messages from God were rare. But one night after Eli had gone to bed, Samuel was sleeping in the tabernacle when suddenly God called out, "Samuel!"
Huh?
Samuel got up and ran to Eli and said, "Did you call me?"
Not me.
Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." So Samuel did. Then God called out again, "Samuel!"
Huh?
And again Samuel got up and ran to Eli asking, "Did you call me?"
Not me.
Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." So Samuel did. God called Samuel for a third time, "Samuel!"
Huh?
And Samuel went to Eli yet again. After three times, Eli realized that God was trying to speak to Samuel. So Eli taught Samuel to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening."
Okay.
Samuel went back to bed, and God came and called as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, your servant is listening." God told him many things about what would happen to Israel. As Samuel grew up, God was with him, and everything God spoke through Samuel came true. Samuel was seen as a great prophet of God because he could hear the voice of God and he listened when God spoke to him.
That little video reminds us that not only do we have to hear the word of God, we also have to recognize that it is the word, the voice of God. We're now going to sing another hymn, "Here I Am, Lord."
I will make the darkness bright.
How many of you have played with model cars or model railroad set? I know Paul does. He's got one in his loft. Many people enjoy playing with models. Maybe you even had a model train set racing around your Christmas tree this year. But there are many kinds of models. Model aeroplanes, model ships, model bridges, model buildings. Models are a good way to show us something that is much bigger. When engineers and architects are designing a new skyscraper or a new bridge or a new car, they usually start out by building a model. Models are a good way to imagine how something big will look once it is completed. Have you ever thought of Jesus as a model? Jesus is the greatest model ever. Through his examples, he's shown us in our Bibles how great we can be once we grow in our faith as one of his loyal followers. How do we grow into that person that God wants us to be? By following Jesus, by modeling ourselves on Jesus, who is the greatest of models. We look to the way that Jesus lived and we try to live in the way that he did. He tells us in the Bible, give food to those who are hungry, give drink to those who are thirsty. And as a child of God, love all the children of God as I have loved you. In other words, share things with those who have less than you and try to treat them the way Jesus would treat you. In these days, there are many people who do not have enough, and we have food banks and places like the Hope Center. But each one of us has special talents and abilities that God has given us. Some may be good at sports, some at art, some like maths and science. Maybe you like music best. But whatever you like to do, whatever you are good at, each one of you, each of us, is a child of God. And that we are special because that's the way God made you and me. He makes each one of us special with individual talents and abilities, and he calls us to use our talents and abilities for him. Jesus loves us, and he gives us the things that we need and the skills and abilities we need in order to do what he wants us to do. But we have to listen to what God is calling us to do in order to be able to use those abilities in the way that he wants us to. We're now going to sing the song, Jesus Loves Me.
Close beside me all the way. He's prepared a home for me.
Bob is now going to read to us from the Gospel of John.
John chapter 1, verses 43 to 51. Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you," Nathanael replied. "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man."
Thank you, Bob, for reading to us this morning. Jesus decided to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Right at the start of the story, John says Jesus found Philip. If you go to any bookshop and look in the spirituality section, you will find autobiographies of people who have devoted themselves to the spiritual life through the years. And very often they write about how they spent many years seeking out a spiritual leader to follow. They may have tried out the ideas of gurus or philosophers. They may have sat at the feet of great preachers and wise teachers, trying to decide who to follow. But that is not the same for us as Christians. That is not even an option, because as John says, Jesus found Philip. Philip didn't find Christ. Christ found Philip. The truth at the heart of the Christian story is not that you and I have found Christ, but that Christ has found us. We did not decide for God. God decided for us. And the narrative that runs throughout the Bible is of a God who constantly seeks out his people. We should never think that we chose God. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world." This is important, because the knowledge that God has sought us out rather than vice versa is crucial in keeping us humble before God. Even our own faith is not our own decision. And once Jesus found Philip, he issued a single command, "Follow me." He told Philip that Jesus should be number one in our lives. And that's what he demands of us as Christians. Philip is compelled to follow Jesus and leaves all else behind. It all has to go when we follow Christ. But what did Philip do when he set out to follow Jesus? Did he go on an Alpha course? Did he join a church? Did he get baptized? He didn't do any of these things. The first thing he did was to find his brother Nathanael and tell him about Jesus. Telling other people about Jesus is central, is the priority of our discipleship when we follow Jesus. Because being a disciple means telling others about him, because we have been found by God. We need to be careful not to lose confidence when the message is not always welcomed. Nathanael was not immediately impressed. His immediate response to Philip was, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" We need to maintain our confidence through our faith so that we can continue to tell others about Jesus. When Nathanael challenged Philip, saying that could anything good come out of Nazareth, Philip didn't get into some theological debate about the merits of Nazareth as a geographical region or its place within the salvation history of Israel or anything like that. He just said to Nathanael, "Come and see." Finally, being a disciple means receiving peace and blessing from God. Jesus spoke to Nathanael and overcame his doubts. But Jesus said he would see much more. And there is much more that Jesus has for us in the future. This last year has been a very different year. We're still in a time when what is coming seems very unclear to us. But if we follow Jesus, if we listen to what he is calling us to do, then we will be going in the way and using the abilities that Jesus has for us. Being Jesus' disciple means following him, looking to him as our model, keeping the faith and telling others. We're now going to sing a song. There were 12 disciples.
There were 12 disciples Jesus called to help him: Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, his brother John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon, Judas, and Bartholomew. He has called us to, he has called us to. We are his disciples. Disciples, we his work must do.
There were 12 disciples Jesus called to help him: Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, his brother John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon, Judas, and Bartholomew. He has called us to. Disciples, I am one and you. He has called us to.
We now come to our time of prayer, and Paul is now going to lead us in our prayers of intercession. Thank you, Adrian. Are we having a test on the 12 disciples later on to see if we can all remember? I just want to start our prayer by reading a prayer by St. Ignatius, actually. I'm sure many of you will have heard this prayer before, but I thought, in the light of what we've heard this morning, it was one to help us think about. It's this: teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labour and not to ask for any reward, except that of knowing that we do your will through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Lord, as we come now to our prayers this morning, Lord, we just thank you for those of your disciples, Lord, across the world that are seeking to follow you in the ways, Lord, in which you have called them. We think, Father, of those Christians in countries who where worship and meeting together, Lord, and practicing their faith is difficult. Places like China and North Korea and other lands, Lord, where just to be a Christian, Father, is dangerous, and people, Lord, have ended up in prison and being put to death. And we just pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in those situations. For those, Lord, that are fighting for mercy and justice in different parts of the world, Lord, to ensure freedom and liberty, Lord, for each one of us. For those, Lord, who are missionaries, we think of our own missionaries, Lord, for Mark and Susanna, and for others, Father, in different parts of the world who are seeking, Father, to follow you in different ways. And we thank you, Lord, for us gathered here today, Lord, in our different homes, the gifts, Father, that you have given to each one of us to enable us, Father, to do your will. We just pray, Lord, that you might make us receptive, Lord, to your calling, that you might give us discernment, Father, to pick out, Lord, your voice among the many other voices, Father, that we hear today, so that we might, Lord, hear the true voice of Jesus calling to us, Father, as the good shepherd calls his sheep. And Father, we also pray this morning, Father, for each person, Lord, that's here today. Lord, you know our situations, you know how we're feeling this morning. You know, Lord, the kind of week that we've had, our fears, our hopes, our difficulties, Lord, the challenges, Father, that face us. We pray, Lord, for those who are unwell, those who are ill at this time. We pray, Father, for your healing and your presence, Father, for them. For those, Lord, who are feeling lonely and isolated, those, Father, separated from people, we pray, Father, that they might not feel lonely because you are there and you are speaking to them and your Spirit, Lord, is near. For those, Father, who are fearful for the future, those, Lord, who, Father, don't know quite what's in store for them with regard to employment, Father, perhaps with family and perhaps with other things, Lord. But we do pray, Lord, that we might just read the words, Lord, that you've given to us in the Bible, that we might hear, Father, your voice that we listen to, Lord, through those words and through speaking, Lord, to other people, that we might receive the comfort and the assurance and the knowledge, Father, that you are in charge, that Jesus is here with us every step of the way as we seek to serve him. And we ask these things, Lord, in his name. Amen. Let's join together as we say the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. It's the disciples' prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us, Lord, not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Thank you, Paul. We're now going to sing our communion hymn, Here is Bread, Here is Wine. And after we've sung this song, Martin will lead us in our communion.
Here is bread, here is wine. Christ is with us, he is with us. Break the bread, drink the wine. Christ is with us.
Morning, everyone. As we come around the Lord's table, I just want to remind us this morning we've heard about the calling of God on the lives of two people, Samuel and then Philip and Nathanael. So that's three people. And John reminds us that we also have the chance to respond to that call. In his gospel, in chapter 1, John writes these words: the true light that gives light to everyone came into the world. He came into the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. The same way that Jesus called his disciples by their name, in the same way that God called Samuel by his name, God has called each one of us, has called out to us. And we have become children of God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. We have heard that call of our name and we have responded. So as we come before this table, I want to remind us from the words of Paul, for I received from the Lord that which I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, On the night he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So as we come before the Lord's table, as his children who have been adopted into his family and been redeemed by the works of Christ, let us remember what Christ has done for us. He paid the price of our sins. He took our punishment. He has forgiven us for all our wrongs, and he will be with us for all eternity. What I'd like you to do now, I'd like you to take hold of your piece of bread. I want you to look at your bread. It is just bread, but it represents the body of Christ. Take your bread and break it. But as you break it, let's be reminded that Christ's body was broken for us. And together, let's partake in this bread. In the same way, I'd like you to take hold of your wine. If you've got individual glasses, that's easy. If you're sharing a glass, hold it between you. And I want you to look at your wine or juice or whatever you're using this morning. It's just wine or juice, but it represents the blood of Jesus. Look at this wine or juice. And remember the cost of your salvation, the blood that washes you as white as snow. And together, let's share in this juice. Lord Jesus, as we have together shared in this wonderful reminder of the price that you paid for us, we say thank you. As your children, we come before you, and once again, we offer you our lives. As together we have shared in this wonderful ceremony, we are reminded that you are coming back glorious and victorious, and that we will be with you for all eternity. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Adrian.
Thank you. We're now going to sing our final hymn, "Thank You for Waking Me This Morning." go forth now, full of joy and the Holy Spirit, boldly proclaiming the good news. Look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Let us say the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, just notices now. The prayers will be at 11 o'clock on Monday, Wednesday and Friday as usual. And our service next Sunday will be led by Martin Turnbull at 11 o'clock.
That's the answer.
Are there any other notices anybody has for us today?
Oh, if I can just mention that we have now, I think everybody knows, but we have now made the decision that we'll be not meeting at the pastures on the first Sunday in February. No decision has made beyond that one date at this point in time. We will be joining you in Zoom worship again in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Okay.
Catherine. I don't know whether you've been able to tune in, Catherine Bruce, I don't know whether you've been able to tune into John Rosa's podcast that the Methodist Circuit are putting together, but in the last one, he'd obviously picked it up from somewhere. He did wish your mum a happy birthday. Your mum's name.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes, Barbara told me that he was on, she was on Radio Northampton. Yeah, thank you. I must confess, I don't listen to the radio.
No, these are it's a podcast that he's been doing, so it's slightly different. But if any of you want the link, then we can send it to you. They are really interesting to listen to. They come out once a month.
Once a month, yes. Yeah.
Okay, if you can, Stephanie, if you can send us the link, it'd be lovely. Have we got the link?
No.
Oh, can you send us the link?
I'll send you the. We'll send you the link.
Yeah.
Okay. I think all you have to do is go on to the Northampton Methodist website. That's what I do.
Yeah.
You go on there, there's links to everything.
I think there's seven or eight now.
Yeah. Well,
eight altogether now.
Okay. Well then, good morning to everybody. It's been good to see you all, and I hope that you've received some measure of blessing from the service this morning. Enjoy the rest of your day, whatever you may be doing.
Bit of sunshine out there, I think.
Thank you.
Bless you all. Have a good day. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, Daniel.
Hello, bye, Daniel.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye, Titus. Bye.
Hello, yes, I hear you.